The Human Settlements Minister, Lindiwe Sisulu, has accepted the nomination of some African National Congress branches to lead the ruling party. Sisulu, who is a veteran cabinet minister and a member of a family that, along with the Mandelas, were among the most prominent in the struggle against apartheid, joins a crowded race to succeed the scandal-plagued President Jacob Zuma as the ANC leader when the organization goes to that elective conference in December. It's been reported that at least six branches of the ANC have nominated Sisulu as leader, and she has publicly accepted. The minister is on the line now to provide us with her reasons why she feels she should be the next president of the African National Congress. Minister Sisulu, a very big welcome here to Talk at Nine on a Sunday evening.
Good evening, Karim. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And of course, I'm very pleased that you accepted our invitation. This, of course, is the first in our series. We hope to bring our listeners on those who have made themselves available for the ANC president. So thank you so very much for your time. Minister, let me get right to it. Why are you at this point in your political career ready, and have you decided to take up the challenge of contesting for the top job in the ANC?
Okay. You know, historically, the ANC has not opened itself up for the kind of campaign that you find in, well, say, at national level when we're campaigning as a party. Internally, we have a process where branches do nominations and approach people that they feel would best represent their interests or would best represent the interests of their ruling party. And most nominations start at branch level. And by the time that a member is approached, they would themselves have tried to, you know, cajole and persuade the member to accept. I've had these approaches for some time now. At the last conference, I very happily declined from the floor because I was not able to dissuade the branches. This time, because it's at the level of a president, it is it's something that has a higher profile than officials, the other official positions that are in the top six. So I gave myself time. With each branch approaching me, I gave myself time, and I had indicated to them that I would not indicate my whether I'm standing or not until we'd been to the conference, because I was very adamant that that is a tradition of the ANC. We get to the conference, we discuss what kind of leadership we need. We discuss first the state of our organization, what ails it and what would cure it. Thereafter, we decide what kind of leader would be able to, provide us with a curative, you know, with a cure.
Yes.
We didn't do that. We opened up the, campaigns long before we got to the conference, and I was opposed to that, and I indicated it over and over, because I felt that we needed to identify what the problem was and identify, therefore, who would be able to take us out of that.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the conference, and we discussed what ails the organization, and we were, all of us, very concerned that the organization is not in a good shape at all.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, when the approaches were made and the branches got together and decided to host what they hosted on Saturday, and I considered it overnight, I thought, well, you know, there are two things. I could say no and live happily or unhappily ever after, or I could say yes and give my best and live with the knowledge that I had given my best and it wasn't good enough, or I'd given my best and I'd managed to save the ANC from its situation. But I couldn't sit back. It is no longer possible for anybody with conscience to sit back, see what is going through in the ANC, and think, well, let me turn the other way and it'll resolve itself. And I decided I'm going to be part of this problem. I mean, the problem solving. And here I am. I have decided that I am going to be part of solving that problem. Mm-hmm. Having identified it, having lived through it, having seen that it is not good for us, it is not good for us going to 2019, I'm availing myself, if it is possible and it works out, I'm very ready to try and put my shoulder to the wheel to try and solve the problem.
Now, Minister, obviously the contestation in the ANC is a very tough one, albeit an undeclared and sometimes even unannounced one. Many observers have always indicated that one has to have grit, one has to have broad shoulders, and one has to have the stamina. Do you have those things, do you think, considering that the ANC Women's League, for example, jumped the gun on January 8th earlier this year and declared via its president that it will only back one candidate? You've got several Women's League branches, in fact, nominating you, making nonsense of that position of the Women's League. Do you have the grit and the stamina to run a race in the ANC, considering how divided the organization is and how dirty the game gets?
I think you've asked three questions which I'll answer sequentially. The first one is, do I have broad enough shoulders to take this on? In my acceptance of the nomination, I indicated to the branches that had come together, Women's League branches that had come together to persuade me to take this position, to say that I am aware it's going to be an arduous journey. And I'm giving my commitment, understanding that it's going to be an arduous journey. The struggle has never been an easy road for anybody. But if I am going to put my weight behind trying to solve the problem, then I will take on whatever it is that comes with it. Secondly, the members at a particular launch indicated to me and publicly that, in fact, at no point had they given up their right to nominate a woman. What they had agreed to was they would nominate a woman for the leadership of the ANC. It was a woman president for the leadership going forward. And they were surprised to find that, in fact, the Women's League National Executive had decided to nominate one woman only. Mm. And they were declaring that they have a right to nominate, you know, whoever they would like to nominate.
Yeah.
And because the right belongs to branches. The idea was a woman president, not one woman, not just the woman, whichever woman it was, but a woman president. And they thought that the idea is ripe for the ANC, and they accepted it very willingly. And they were therefore exercising their democratic right in approaching me to say, will you take this position? Will I stay the cause, understanding that it is going to be a divisive skirmish? I did indicate in my acceptance that I wanted those people who would like me to stand in for them as a candidate to understand that there are certain conditionalities. One of them is I do not want them to be part of anything that is divisive, because it doesn't take us anyway. Mm. We get to the end of this so much more diminished in our strength and our ability to attract people to us, and for people to see in us people of honor.
Mm.
I'm in this to add my weight in ensuring that we can bring about a necessary unity, to bring about the kind of trust and hope that our people would like to see in the ANC. I've known the ANC all my life, and I think that it is possible to determine whether what we have is the ANC that I've known all along or it isn't. And I've come to the conclusion it isn't. It isn't reflective of what I have known the ANC to be. And if we hope to get the necessary results in 2019. We've got to do something about it very urgently.
Absolutely.
But I would like to emphasize that it doesn't necessarily have to be divisive and ugly going to December. There are agreed rules that we all abide by. Each person will go along with whatever their supporters would like them to do, but as long as they respect other people, do not bring down the name of the ANC or do not bring down the name of the other candidate. It's happened in the ANC. The ANC has had contestation before, and it hasn't torn the ANC apart. There haven't been any skirmishes either, and I don't see why now we should have skirmishes at all.
Mm-hmm. It's gone 17, or it's rather coming up for 17 minutes after 9. This is, of course, Talk at 9 on a Sunday evening. I'm Karima Brown. My guest tonight, ANC presidential candidate Lindiwe Sisulu, publicly coming out after having been nominated by several Women's League branches, speaking to us exclusively subsequent to that nomination for the first time about her ambitions for the African National Congress. Now, Minister, you've explained that you are ready to take this to its logical conclusion, but let me ask you this: why should ANC members vote for you?
No, that is not for me to answer. That is for the people who are running the campaign. I'm not.
But surely you stand for something. I mean, why? What makes you different?
That is different. What do I stand for?
Yes.
I stand for restoring the dignity of the ANC as I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make sure that I can bring hope to our people that the ANC lives, because that's what we've always grown up understanding. The ANC will live. The ANC will lead. I'd like to restore the integrity of the ANC against a perception out there that there is growing corruption in the ANC.
How are you going to go about doing that? How are you going to restore the dignity, considering that we have a president who effectively is not just alleged to be involved in state capture? More and more, it looks like there is, you know, at the very least, a basis for him to be charged. There are old charges. We have a situation where ANC leaders themselves, veterans, people of your and your dad and your mom's generation, you know, saying that this organization is in fact a shadow of its former self. How do you go about restoring the dignity of the ANC, Ms. Sisulu?
Are you talking about now in the run-up
yes,
to the election
yes,
or
yes.
after the election?
Well, both. I think the one can't go without
now,
the other.
Now in the run-up to the election, I intend to use every opportunity I have to ensure that people understand that the ANC lives, that there is hope within the ANC, and that it is possible for us to get out of the slump that we're in right now. Preach what the ANC would do in a situation like this. What is it that our forebears would have wanted us to do? Our forebears would have wanted us to repair the ANC. And that's what I'd like to call people to do. Each one of us has a responsibility. We are in trouble. We each one has a responsibility to come to the fore, see that we help the organization out of its present circumstances so that we emerge victorious at the end of this. That's what I'd like to do between now and December. I'd like to try and restore the integrity and the honor of the ANC, bring about the unity of the ANC, try to make sure that the ANC becomes once again a home for all of those people who are so disillusioned out there.
Mm. But
and
how
so that we speak against all of those things that have caused so much harm.
Now,
corruption is one of them.
Yeah, you've spoken at the policy conference. You were, in fact, I think probably the only NEC member who said publicly that those associated with corruption, particularly in the Gupta leaks, if they are found guilty, they should be kicked out of the organization. Does that include the president, the current president of the ANC, in your book?
You know, the ANC has got very strong internal mechanisms of investigating anything. And at the end of that investigation, the ANC has the capacity to indicate to anybody who is found guilty what the outcome or what the sanction is. There has been a time when we have asked a president to step aside.
Mm.
And there has been times when we have asked members of the executive to excuse themselves from the ANC. The ANC has the capacity to do all of those things. And sometimes the ANC calls on that capacity to cleanse itself, to move forward. And therefore, I would still urge, as I did during the conference, that we should have an internal investigative capacity and disciplinary capacity that we have to look at these cases, because the more they leak out into the public, the more damage there is to the ANC. It is completely unacceptable.
Lindiwe, can I just,
what we fought for.
Can I just ask you, are you saying that disciplinary charges, for example, must be brought against President Jacob Zuma? Because after all, what prevents people from bringing those disciplinary charges? Surely he has brought the organization into disrepute.
I would not remove an individual from the whole thing. I would want the whole thing investigated, whether it is Jacob Zuma, whether it is myself, whether it is another minister, anybody.
Mm.
There is something of a tangible case there, where there are leaks that are from the emails. And I think that the ANC needs to step up and look at those emails, see whether or not there is any truth in that. And anybody there, regardless of who it is, would then be called to come and answer, because they're bringing the ANC into disrepute. Call them into a disciplinary process. Please explain what this is. And each one of them would be able to explain. And we give them the benefit of the doubt that perhaps they're wrongly accused in these emails. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I wouldn't want to separate President Zuma from any other member. I'm talking about any member of the ANC who is named in those emails, and we have the situation where continuously we're brought into disrepute in the public domain. Unacceptable.
Now, Minister Sisulu, Solly Mapaila, the first Deputy General Secretary of the SACP, has just spoken live on ENCA and said that he has deposed an affidavit in which he accuses the President of lying around the reasons for sacking Pravin Gordhan and Thembisa Jonas. And he then subsequently explains that the President, in fact, said to the alliance partner, the SACP, that the intelligence report, the so-called intelligence report, was the basis for recalling them and sacking them. And of course, the President has denied it subsequently. Mm-hmm. And he has basically called the President a liar. Would you think that if someone as senior in the alliance does that, that is substantial grounds for bringing action against the President himself as an individual to hold him personally and politically accountable?
I think we're now mixing two things. Solly Mapaila is indicating that in his view the President is lying, and he would need to prove that indeed that is the truth. If that is the truth, then it would mean that the President has brought the ANC into disrepute. At the moment, it is an allegation from Solly Mapaila, and he has used the legal means to take the case forward.
Well, at least three ANC members from the top six said exactly what he said. The Deputy President said it, the Secretary General said it, and the Treasurer General said it.
Okay, let's deal with Solly Mapaila's case. He has taken it through to the necessary process.
Yes.
And why don't we await the outcome of that process? Because that one is very different from the one that we're talking about. I'm talking about clear and present evidence that something is going wrong, and it is a corrupt, corrupt process. And we can't be associated with corruption in the ANC now, 100 and something years down the line. But that I find unacceptable, completely unacceptable. And that is what I'm talking to, that the ANC should create that capacity to investigate this and make sure that anybody who's involved in that, it could be myself, I would be very willing to be called to explain anything that would come out of those emails. But we can't just look away. We cannot look away.
Absolutely, Minister, I agree with you. obviously, a lot of our time is being spent on the African National Congress because you are seeking the leadership of that organization and it is in deep trouble. But one can't, of course, separate the ANC from the rest of the country. Yeah. There has been observers who've said that the battle inside the ANC has preoccupied leaders of the ANC to such an extent that they've forgotten to govern the country. If you were to be elected, Minister Sisulu, as leader of the ANC, what is your vision for 2019? How are you going to get voters who deserted you in the municipal elections in 2016 to come back in 2019?
Well, that would require a very long discussion with yourself. And I am planning to put together something of a statement, a manifesto to indicate what I stand for. And I would be making it public very soon, possibly in a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I will invite you to come to it.
Fantastic, Minister. Obviously, we will be in constant touch with your campaign officials about, you know, what your platform is. Just quickly, before we come to the conclusion of our interview, obviously, running for ANC president costs a lot of money. Now, nobody wants to speak about campaigning and money in the ANC. Neither do they want to speak about campaigning and elections and party political funding when it comes to elections. But campaigns are very, very expensive. And if we're talking about capture often happens where money changes hands. How expensive is it to run as a candidate for the presidency in the African National Congress?
But that's exactly what we should be challenging. Why is it expensive?
Well, you have to fly from one place to the next. You don't have a presidential unit like Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma.
No, I don't have a presidential unit like Nkosazana Zuma, but I do have people who have come to me to ask me, please, will you represent us? They will be my feet on the ground. I don't have to be everywhere like I have a private jet. I don't have one. But you see, my worry is that we are turning ANC members into voting fodder, and we're using money to buy them, and that is wrong.
Are you going to go into this campaign saying it doesn't require money?
Yes, I am going to go into this campaign saying do not accept any money in exchange for votes. They should not. We can't complain about corruption and yet create an environment in which corruption is possible. Mm-hmm. You can't. Everybody has a right to use their conscience when they vote.
Minister,
and that's what we need to defend in every member's situation.
Just quickly, there's been a lot of discussion around whether a female candidate will in fact advance the interest of women and whether it will advance the struggle against patriarchy. Now, I know that you've said you're going to be putting your manifesto together for what you stand in 2019, but as it stands right now, why should women in the African National Congress vote for you? What is it that you are going to be doing for women? And more importantly, what are you going to do to alter gender relations within the ANC itself?
Karima, that is what is in my statement. Let me just give a general view of how we feel. That it is time for a woman to take the reins of government. We've had a long run-in of men, and some of them have done a sterling job. And we believe that women in the ANC have added value that they can put on the table. We believe that patriarchy will not ever be destroyed until we find a woman suitable to ensure that we remove this from our DNA and our genes, because that is what holds women back. That is what holds society back. This could easily have been said by myself or any other woman. And we consciously took a decision when the Women's League was saying we would like to see a woman running, that it is time for women to emerge. We have enough women, and they're not there only as women. We would be electing them because they are the kind of leaders we want to lead South Africa. The fact that they are women is just an added advantage, that's all.
I know that there's no essential relationship between goodness and women. I mean, it's not as if women are not corrupt or can't do wrong things. I mean, we've got women premiers, we've got women ministers. Some of them have been really bad ministers.
Yeah. Okay, that's true.
And so I don't want to argue from the point of view that, you know, there's an inherent way in which women govern or rule that makes us better than men, because the reality is that that is simply not true. But what I want to understand, Minister, I mean, I know that your manifesto is going to come, but for example, give us two big things that are absolute important things for you to put on a campaign agenda for people who want to be able to distinguish between yourselves and the other candidates in the running for the head of the ANC.
You really are now running ahead of my meeting and my statement. No, I would agree with you. There is nothing inherent in women that makes them better than men. But there is something inherent in women that makes them sensitive to issues of, say, like patriarchy. Because they are at the bitter end of all of these practices that marginalize them, that continuously make them vulnerable, that continuously make them like they are not equal to men. All men are born equal, myself as a woman and a man as a man. And I think that we just have one more struggle to overcome, that struggle over patriarchy, against patriarchy. And only a woman can get us there. I think we've achieved most things that we would like to achieve in creating an equal society, but we're still stuck with patriarchy. And I can't imagine that a man would get us over that.
All right, Minister, thank you very much. Good luck, of course, with that presidential campaign. We will be tracking you closely, and I'll be gladly accepting that invitation to come to your manifesto launch. And we will, of course, hope to be talking to you soon. We'll also hope to follow you on the campaign trail. Thank you so very much to Minister Lindiwe Sisulu. She has, of course, just spoken to us about her intentions to run for the presidency of the African National Congress come the elective conference in December.